This is the continuation of the conversational Bible reading that took place on Saturday, the 12th of November 2022, the subject being the eternal state.
I just wanted to ask a question.
Yeah.
I don't have any answers to it, but do you think an eternal state has existed before sin came in, before Satan rebelled? Do you think there was an eternal state of perfection before, which of course Satan damaged, and God has had to go to all these pains and work through all these centuries to restore? So we're getting back to what things were before sin came in?
Are you thinking of where we're told that we're chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world? We think in times, we think linear, you know, start and finish and so on. Mm-hmm. But eternity is outside of time, mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. that the Lord can call himself Alpha and Omega. Mm-hmm.
We're not told very much, Peter, are we, as to what existed before creation? But the psalmist says, from eternity to eternity thou art God. And I take fully what Michael's just said, that time, that eternity is outside of time. Someone referred earlier to the fact that God dwells, present tense, in eternity. But doesn't God use expressions in his word that as human beings we can cope with, so to speak? So we have that expression, from eternity to eternity. Mm-hmm. But do you not think that God, in, for sake of a better expression, in eternity to come, will have been enriched by all his activities in time? God has been working in time, hasn't he? Dealing with men in so many different circumstances at different times, and supremely by sending his son into the world, who has undertaken the great work of redemption, without which we could never have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, could we? And do you not think that, as I say, what other expression can we use, but in the time to come, God will enjoy all the fruits of what he's worked out in time.
Yes. Of course, we sometimes wonder and question, why did not God put Satan in the lake of fire straight away? But God obviously had some purpose in allowing Satan to do what he did, and then to go through this long process, of which has taken thousands of years time to accomplish again this eternal state, which is what God always wanted.
Yes, we might similarly ask, do you think, why did God allow Satan to be loosed from his prison and deceive the people of the earth again, as we read in chapter 20, but isn't it a principle with God that he allows evil to come to its climax before abolishing it? We might ask, why were the circumstances of Christ's crucifixion so terrible? Why was so much hatred, cruelty, wickedness displayed? But God allowed in his wisdom, didn't he, that evil should be exposed for what it really is, and then he brings in his remedy. And isn't that what we've seen, Tony, between chapters 22 and chapter 20 and chapter 21 of Revelation? That God allowed Satan to do his very worst, and then he's dealt with, and all his effects are dealt with.
Yes, there's a great deal, I'm sure, that we're not told about in Scripture. And that God has given us his word so that we can understand what's taking place.
Yes. In relation to Peter's question, I've often wondered, in chapter 3 of Genesis, it says the serpent was more crafty than any animal of the field. It clearly shows that there was a pre-existing thing of which we're not told, Peter, in Scripture, are we?
We do know that God allows Satan to test man. Especially, you see it in the book of Job, don't you?
Yes.
But I was thinking that... I know Brother Fife said there were four references to the eternal state in Scripture, but I think there's another one, I'd be glad to be corrected, in John 14, when the Lord says, in my Father's house there are many resting places. I go to prepare a place for you. Surely that's talking about the eternal state, isn't it?
Yes, I think your remark, Michael, touches on a certain aspect of the church's portion, which I find difficult to define, inasmuch that I think scriptures such as that indicate that when we're with Christ, we shall be in our eternal condition. And yet in the world to come, quite plainly, the church has a role in relation to the regulation of the earth. And I find it difficult to tie those two things up. But I think it's probably the difference between a heavenly state and what continues on earth.
So regarding the millennium then, it's we shall reign.
Yes.
Or they shall reign, depending on the text, yeah.
Yes. Clem, is this all right, what we're saying?
It's very good. But it's very difficult to understand. But we have to see that it's the souls of men, our souls, because they, God has given them to us, and I think they're eternal, in that sense.
Yes.
I'm glad you said that, because the emphasis all the time in Scripture is not that we understand, but that we believe. God said it, so we trust him.
Yeah.
We trust him about things that are too big for us to understand.
Exactly. I mean, we speak about what's eternal, but I mean, we're bounded by time. Mm. You know, I couldn't find my phone before we started off. And time went through, and we were late starting. My brother was waiting for us. But there's time. But you see, eternity is much bigger than that. And we have to have some, I don't know how, which word, what word to use, comprehension, some understanding. But if we think about our souls, and that is what the Lord Jesus wants, he wants our souls. Because that's who we are, right through. God, when a child is born, a soul is given to it. It's a wonderful thing to have a little understanding of that. And that comes through in the end. And what we've been reading here, in the end, is that it doesn't actually say anything about souls, but they must be all of the people that are involved that go into eternity. Must be their souls, mustn't it? What do you think?
Are you talking about the wicked dead at the Great White Throne?
Not necessarily, no. I suppose that's one thing that does actually come into it. Well, I'm thinking on a positive side to it.
Right. Yes, well, as you say, we all have a soul. We each have a soul that is eternal. people say that when I'm died up, when I'm dead, I'm finished. And it's not true, is it?
No.
But it's wonderful that the Lord Jesus died to save our souls.
Yes.
And there are several interesting references in the Revelation, aren't there, to the souls of the saints.
Yes.
In chapter 6, we have the souls of them that have been slain for the word of God. And in chapter 20, we have a reference to the souls of those beheaded on account of the testimony of Jesus. Men thought that they had finished with these people, but their souls are eternal and they'll be clothed again in bodies.
Yes. Well, that's a, I think that's one of the important things to have in our understanding, that we have something in us, our souls, that in fact is eternal. And although our minds, I mean, I can't compass what's eternal in that sense, you know, you can't work it out.
No.
But you can have a belief. One of the things that the Lord has done, he's redeemed our souls. That's a wonderful thing.
I noticed too, when you were speaking about eternity, you kept referring to the Lord. And I think the closer we get in our appreciation and knowledge of the Saviour, the more we'll understand what eternity is all about.
Well,
Isaiah 9 says, in the names that he's given, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity.
Yes.
So eternity is there in the name of the Saviour.
Well, it's a wonderful thing that he came to earth and he had hands that he touched and healed people, but he was from eternity to eternity. So that's one of the things that we can have. And I often think that we'll have plenty of time to ask him about these wonderful things.
Yeah.
And I use the word time. Of course, it's not time. But you know what I mean? If he was here today, we could say to the Lord, what do you mean by this scripture here? And he would tell us. But when he was here in the earth, he was bound to certain things that he couldn't say anymore, could he? But we have the scriptures now, and the Holy Spirit, that's the real thing about it. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Somebody pointed out it was just like having Christ dwelling in us.
Mm.
It's a wonderful thing to consider those things, isn't it?
Yes.
I think a lot of this thing is what I call technical. I don't want to use the word bringing it down, but it is. It's detail, isn't it?
Yes.
When you think about it, when the Lord created the heavens and the earth, how could a person create the heavens and the earth? They haven't even reached the end of creation.
No.
The Lord did it. And we can trust him now, we can kneel down, that we can ask him to help us, and he will help us.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wonderful thing, Clem, is that the Lord Jesus is a man, will remain a man, and when we see him, we will see a man who is God. And that will be our eternal occupation.
Yes.
Mm. And God deals with detail, doesn't he? God is not only a God of the vast and extensive. You've referred to the physical creation, Clem, and the psalmist says, when I see thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars. So if God's given us detail, it's, I'm sure, because he wants us to be interested in it. But you've brought us on to consider the place of the Lord Jesus in eternity. And I wonder if we can get some help before we finish on what is said in 1 Corinthians 15,
as to the Son himself. Before we do, Geoffrey, could you just tell us who's going to populate the new earth? I'm not sure we've been told, and therefore I can't be definite about it, but my impression is that as in the world to come, there will be those on earth, or those subject, as we've said, to failure, and there will be those in heaven. I think that must go through into
eternity.
Into eternity. Because, may I say again, my impression of verse 2 of Revelation 21 is that the heavenly city is the vehicle by which God vouchsafes his presence to those on earth.
You're not saying, Jeff, that those on earth in the eternal state will be subject to sin, are you?
Oh, no, no. No. That's so in the world to come, but when all that's negative has been dealt with by Christ, yeah. He reigns until the last enemy is annulled, which is death, and then it's a state, as we said earlier, of blessedness. Now, I was just seeking to maintain the distinction still between the church and the earthly peoples.
Yeah. Looking, as you suggested, we look back now at 1 Corinthians 15. It's characteristic of the Son of God that he is so willing to come down. Got the famous passage in Philippians 2, haven't we, of the seven old downward steps of the Lord all the way to the cross. But here in eternity to come, he's again willing to take place of subjection, that God may be all in all. In Revelation 21, I was struck by the fact that what it says about the believer in verse 7 is, I will be to him God, and he shall be to me son. Now, you'd expect father and son, but it's God and son. And now here again, we've got son and God speaking about the Lord himself.
Yes.
Well, might some help on that.
Yes. I can only offer this thought, that throughout the book of Revelation, the focus is principally on the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Things happen from heaven affecting the earth, but you don't look in Revelation for our heavenly portion, as for example Paul sets it out in the Epistle to the Ephesians, where he speaks a lot about our heavenly blessings. The focus is so much towards the earth. I don't know if Brother Aston, who studied these things, agrees with that.
No, carry on. I'm listening.
Yeah. Yes, well, our heavenly blessings, the fact that we're united to heavenly Christ, the church is one with him, you don't get that set out in the Revelation, do you? But you do get the church as the vehicle, both in the world to come and in eternity, through which God will affect things on earth. But it's a wonderful thing, and I don't think we would want to miss it, do we, that the Lord Jesus, as Michael has just said, accepts a place of subjection to the Father throughout eternity.
Yes, he takes that place himself.
Yeah.
Being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He's placed himself there throughout eternity, I suggest. And But he's always equal with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
We can't grasp that, can we, Alan? No. That he's fully God and yet fully man.
Yes.
But the verses in 1 Corinthians 15 tell us quite plainly, don't they, the purpose of Christ's rule in the world to come. He'll reign until all enemies are under his feet, verse 25. And the last enemy to be annulled is death, and we've read in Revelation 20 that death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. And then the purpose of Christ's dominion having been fulfilled, he now puts himself in a place of subjection to God for all eternity. Is that what you understand, Andrew?
Yes, I think it's quite remarkable because we're told that we're all sinners and we're all in the same position, and yet God blessed us, didn't he? And he's sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And the essential thing is to accept that wonderful gift from God, is to accept the Saviour. That's the most marvellous thing, isn't it?
Yes. That's the, it reminds us of those verses in Revelation 21, which we perhaps don't want to dwell on over much, but to the fearful and unbelieving and sinners and those that make themselves abominable and so on, eternally shut out. It should make us, as has been said already, more zealous in spreading the gospel.
Yes, it's an essential part, isn't it, of the work.
Yeah. But I think, as Terry commented earlier, the prevailing thought as to the eternal state is that it's a condition of rest. Yeah. We shall be at rest, but more importantly, God himself will rest.
There's nothing else to be done.
No.
He's done it.
Yeah.
And having done it, he puts himself in subjection to God.
And you've got God's purpose in that last verse of Ephesians 3. To him be glory in the assembly in Christ Jesus and to all generations of the age of ages. And sometimes in Ephesians, when it's talking about the heavenlies, it's talking about our appreciation of what's heavenly now, because you've got in the last chapter against spiritual power of wickedness in the heavenlies. So that's rather like Canaan. It's fighting in the land.
Yes, but as Terry says, the time of work will all be over, won't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
The Lord says in John's Gospel, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Mm. But in Revelation 21, it says, verse 6, it is done.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Mm. Yeah. Nothing left undone.
No, wonderful. God will enjoy the fruits of his work through Christ and the Spirit, and we shall enjoy the uninterrupted presence and love of God.
I think one of the most wonderful things that there will be in the eternal state that there wasn't before, if we can speak a bit like that, is that Christ will have his bride, he will have his glorious church, for which he bled and died.
Amen.
And that is a wonderful thing. That will be something that was never known before.
That links with that last verse in Ephesians 3, doesn't it? Because you look at Christians today, you look at the mess we make in Christendom and all the... But yet, there's going to be glory in the assembly.
Yeah. He will present it to himself a glorious church,
yeah,
without spot or wrinkle.
Yeah,
we can praise God for that.
Amen.
Blessed Father, infinite in grace, source of eternal joy, thou leadst our hearts to that blessed place where rest without alloy. There will thy love find perfect rest, where all around is bliss, where all in thee supremely blessed, thy praise, their service is. 178. Blessed Father,
thy praise, and serve.
Father, we do worship thee. Amen. In the light of the great things that thou hast done, operating according to thine own purposes and counsels, all the blessed ways thou hast taken in time to bring about that response to thyself, and a response in intelligence and love to the great thoughts that thou hast revealed to us. We thank thee for all that thou hast done through Christ and by the Holy Spirit to bring about an answer to those purposes of thine which thou didst have before the world's foundation. And we thank thee that nothing will fall to the ground of what thou hast purposed. We thank thee that Satan will not succeed in any respect at all, whether we think of thy purposes for this earth, they'll yet be vindicated fully in all that will be achieved in the world to come under the rule of Christ. And whether it is thy desire to dwell with men, we thank thee that thou wilt tabernacle with man forever. Amen. And we shall know thee, our Father, indeed, whether in heavenly places or on this earth, we shall know the blessedness of an undisturbed relationship with thee. Our Father, what wonderful things thou hast done, but we pray that we may now ourselves in the present time value more greatly the things that are eternal. Amen. We think of the Lord Jesus, who was there before the world was with thee, and will be right there through into eternity, albeit placing himself in subjection to thee, our Father. We thank thee that everything that thou hast desired and planned will be fulfilled, and thou wilt have thy rest, and those and the redeemed will have their rest too. So we thank thee for these things, and we pray that the effect of considering them may be that we pay less attention to the things of time, the things that are passing, the things of sense, the things of the flesh, and that the eternal realities will be embraced in faith by us much more. Amen. So now we do thank thee nevertheless that while we're here in time, thou dost consider for our bodily needs, and we thank thee for the refreshments that are about to serve.
Amen.
Bless our further fellowship together as we speak one with another now, we pray. And when we disperse in a little while and go to our homes, we pray thy hand of mercy over us. Amen. Giving us journeying, giving us safe journeys. So we ask all these things and bless thee, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.